New Hope Community Church in Cambridge, Minnesota.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day, for another day of life. Thank you that you are all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. In Psalm 139, you state that you know when we sit and when we stand. You perceive our thoughts from afar. You know the words that come out of our mouths before they are on our lips. We cannot hide from your spirit. If we go to the heavens, you are there. If we settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. If this is the case, then you know the weight and responsibilities these men and women carry today. Responsibilities first within their homes to their spouses and children, and secondly within their servant position for this state. Bless them with wisdom beyond their experience, insights deeper than they have studied, and a servant heart that reflects yours. Bless all they put their head to, their heart to, and their hands to, both in their homes and here today. Thank you for their leadership. In your great name, amen. Blessings.
Thank you very much. Good. Thank you. Yep. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olsen G, Olsen M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stump, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Uyghur.
Without objection, we'll excuse Senator Cohen from today's session. Quorum is present. First order of business is executive and official communications printed on today's agenda. Next order of business is messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 2908, a resolution urging payment of federal respite leave benefit for members of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Next order of business is messages or first reading of House bills. There's one printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of House bills. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports and the agenda be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. The next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are a couple of changes here. On page 4, Senate File 2818 will be sent to the Education Committee. On page 5, Senate File 2832 to the Commerce and Consumer Protection. And on page 6, Senate File 2833 to the Tax Committee. And on page 7, Senate File 2844 to the Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee. And finally, on page 8, Senate File 2853 to the Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee. First reading of Senate bills. We're on to motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator. Excuse me, before that, there's three motions to be read at the desk.
Senator Moi moves that her name be stricken as chief author shown as a co-author, and the name of Senator Latz be added as chief author to Senate file number 560.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Senator Stump moves that his name be stricken as chief author, shown as a co-author, and that the name of Senator Saxhog be shown as chief author of Senate file number 345.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Senator Moi moves that Senate file number 560 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance and re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary.
Senator Moi.
Mr. President, I've spoken, this is my bill. I spoke with Senator Cohen, and I've spoken to myself, and we agreed to the move of the bill from Finance to Judiciary.
Okay, on Senator Moi's motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Miller.
Mr. President, remaining on the order of business of motions and resolutions, I move the Senate take up the Senate calendar.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There's one bill on the calendar, Senate File 2259. It's a Senator Rest bill we talked about the other day. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File number 2259, a bill for an act relating to local government, authorizing federally recognized Indian tribes and the Minnesota Historical Society to participate in joint powers agreements. Senate File 2259.
Secretary will take the roll.
Thank you.
All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary, we will close the roll. There be it 63 ayes and 3 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed.
Senator
Pogemiller.
Remaining on motions and resolutions, I'd like to yield to Senator Berglund.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 2168 and the veto message thereon be taken from the table.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 2168 be now reconsidered and repassed, the objections of the governor notwithstanding, pursuant to Article 4, Section 23 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota.
Okay, on the motion.
Mr. President.
Senator Berglund.
I would like to have a roll call vote on the motion, and I have a few comments I'd like to make before we take the vote.
There will be a roll call. Senator Berglund, discussion.
Mr. President and members, I have a few handouts that I have given to you today to help you make this decision. The first handout is a long page. Makes it clear that the proposal that we have on the floor before us today costs less than the governor's proposal. It covers more people for a longer period of time. And it has a lot of reform in this bill. We have counties that have agreed to do coordinated care delivery on a block grant type of arrangement. We have provisions in here that will reduce our inpatient hospitalization for public programs by 5%. And I would just remind you that we have never gotten a dime of savings from the Department of Human Services for any of the reform that we passed in 2008. So this reform is significant. We have eliminated people from eligibility in this program. We have eliminated the chemical dependency services in this program, leaving people to rely on other state-funded programs for that benefit. Mr. President, I'd also like to call to your attention a sheet that shows all the names of the hospitals in the state. I just received this yesterday from the Hospital Association. So the first column shows you what hospitals would get for inpatient care under the proposal before us. The second column shows you what they would get under the governor's auto enrollment proposal for people into Minnesota care. And the third column shows you what the hospitals lose under the governor's proposal to eliminate a large number of people without children from Minnesota care. So in order to figure out what the governor's proposal leaves your hospital, you would subtract the number in the second column. You would take the number in the second column and subtract the number in the third column. And that would be what you would compare to the first column. And I think you'll see that every hospital in this state does better under the proposal we have before us today. So the proposal costs less, covers more people for a longer period of time, and does better by providers in this state. I also have a letter from the Catholic bishops on your desk urging you to vote for the override as well as an editorial. I would stand ready for any questions, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members, and perhaps Senator Berglund might be able to respond to this in particular, but members, We passed a couple of bills in the last couple of weeks. One is a large bonding bill that I guess didn't quite make it through the veto process, but is now being, I understand, going to be reconsidered and worked on as we had hoped with the governor's office. It is my understanding that even though this bill was vetoed, that the governor is in process of working with Senator Berglund and others on this issue to try to find a way to address the concerns that the governor expressed in his veto message, notably that his supplemental budget that he's offered does not allow for additional funds that this bill contemplates spending. And I'm wondering why we are going to go ahead and seek to override a veto when there is work being done, as I understand it, to try to negotiate with the governor's office to fix these things and come up with a solution that is acceptable to the governor's office as well as the legislature. Why would we seek to do this now instead of letting that process play out? Senator Berglund, you could respond to that.
Mr. President and Senator Hahn, before I speak to your basic question, I'd just like to correct one thing you said, and so I hope you're listening to me, because I don't think you were a few minutes ago. This proposal costs less than the governor's proposal, and we're using their budget pages, and by their own admission, it costs less. So this is not spending money that the governor isn't spending as well. We're just spending a little less of it. In regard to discussions with the governor's office, yes, we did receive a call at our request yesterday afternoon, and there have been some discussions that have begun to take place. But the governor's office is not slowing down or rescinding his direction to begin auto enrollment. And the process will begin on Monday. And I hope the discussions that we have will be fruitful. It's unclear at this moment if they will. I wish the governor had not been so indecisive about engaging in this discussion. If we would have engaged in this discussion as I wanted to last December, maybe we'd be in a different place by now. But when the governor's auto enrollment takes place, the page that you look at with all the hospitals listed in the state, those decisions are automatically forced upon us. And so I believe we need to move forward with our proposal. Members, I believe if there is another proposal, I don't know if there will be, but if there would be, it will not be as good as the one you have in front of you now. So this is your last chance to vote on behalf of your communities to do the best that we can for providers and for constituents who rely on the General Assistance Medical Care Program. This is your last chance to represent them today.
Senator Hand.
Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Berglund. And again, with all due respect, and I you may have a different opinion, I'm just reading from the letter that the governor sent to members of the legislature saying that the legislation contains $170 million that I previously identified in my budget to help resolve the current $1.2 billion deficit. These same dollars cannot be used twice. Now, I take it you're disputing that. That's fine. I'm just relying on what the governor has said. And his other point, larger point, is that this should be resolved in the context of the entire $1.2 billion budget problem that we have. And again, I just question how we've heard from the majority party a number of times how important it is that we engage the governor and that we work with him to solve a problem. This is clearly a problem that, as I've talked to people, everyone agrees there are problems with the current GAMC structure. And everyone agrees it can be done and ought to be done better. All of us agree to that. I think all of us also agree that no matter what happens, no one is going to go without health care. This is about the cost and what is the best way to deal with the cost. And I think that the governor's got some ideas on the table that he is interested in, that he is working to implement. He is in negotiation, as I understand it, with people in the healthcare committee and working on this. And I think that if that's the intent, is to negotiate a solution to override a veto and implement something, to me, I would say, well, how can we be negotiating in good faith if we're going to override a veto that right now is, I guess, what we're attempting to do. So I disagree with this tactic. I think we ought to let the negotiations continue in good faith and see if we can find a solution that I think all of us want, which is how to best accommodate the costs that are currently excessive in the current GMC program and still make sure we're providing good care for people who need it.
Senator.
Mr. President, I would ask that we impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call.
Mr. President,
Senator Berglund,
I would move that further proceedings of the call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Dill.
Mr. President, would Senator Berglund yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Dill.
Mr. President, Senator Berglund, I listened to you carefully when you presented this bill a few days ago. And I think you said that it didn't use any general fund money. And I then checked with other people that are knowledgeable in this area, and I got the impression that that you were going to use some general fund money for part of the biennium and pay it back next biennium, or was kind of going in and out of getting paid back, something like that. And I just want to understand this a little bit better. And getting back to the governor's veto message here, there is that paragraph down toward the bottom of the letter that says the legislation utilizes $170 million that I previously identified in my supplemental budget to help resolve the current $1.2 billion deficit. Those dollars cannot be used twice. And I just want to understand this a little bit better. And did I hear you correctly that you said there's no general fund money in your proposal?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Dill, what I said is that this proposal does not create a larger budget deficit. There are some general fund monies in the bill. They are monies that have been identified in the budget forecast as being needed under law to be transferred into MinnesotaCare to keep MinnesotaCare solvent if the governor's plan would go forward. That has been forecasted. Under the plan that I have presented, we use that same money to keep a GMC program going, and it keeps MinnesotaCare solvent. And I would say this, the governor can propose any budget he wants to us, and that's fine. We rarely give him the budget he sent to us right back again. So we believe that both your constituents and the providers in your district are harmed greatly by the governor's proposal. And I've handed out a sheet just to show you what the impact on hospitals in your district would be, and this is a very conservative estimate. The governor's proposal does not cover everyone that our proposal would cover. It auto-enrolls about 21,000 people on April 1st. And after that, people would have to go through the arduous process of trying to get enrolled in MinnesotaCare. I have a letter on my desk from a constituent who has HIV/AIDS and has been trying to get enrolled in MinnesotaCare for the last year. So everyone is not just going to get picked up by another program. And if they did, we couldn't afford it because his proposal costs $937 per month per person. And our proposal costs $457 per month per person. So we have a more cost-effective solution, covers more people, gives your providers more stability and more revenue to handle the low-income uninsured people that they will be facing because these people are not going to be well overnight, and they're not going to be able to afford health care overnight. So I would say that we will still produce a balanced budget. I have always done what I needed to do for the members of this body to consider. But believe me, it's going to be a lot easier if we pass this bill today and we don't have the huge costs of this auto enrollment for a very few handful of people to deal with as well in the budget discussion.
Senator Olson, then Senator Rosen. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, I would like to thank Senator Olson, as the chair of the Health and Human Services Committee that I sit on, for the really difficult, smart work that she's done, taking a difficult environment with the downturn in our economy and really trying to work to minimize the damage on the programs that we oversee and the health care that we oversee in that committee. And I want to respond directly to something that Senator Hand said in terms of working with the governor's office. Because at the beginning of session, we heard a bill in that committee that had been worked on over the interim between Senator Berglund's office and the Hospital Association. And this was a bill the Hospital Association brought forward that, for example, in my hospital, in North Country Regional Hospital in Bemidji, if we had adopted that bill, we would have, without going into all the details because they're complicated, we would have done some smart things that would have increased the amount of federal revenue that we have coming in, just as other states have this revenue available to them. And we would have been able to increase the reimbursement to my hospital from a deficit of between $1 million and $2 million under the governor's plan, plus all the other costs we're seeing. If we eliminate GAMC, those are only direct costs. We expect additional indirect costs, to an increase to my hospital of over $3 million, from a deficit of almost $2 million to an increase of $3 million plus dollars, simply by doing some smart things and to take advantage of these additional federal dollars being a large part of that. The governor didn't want to take that federal money, and he told us that if we eliminated, my understanding is he gave us the message that if we eliminated that reimbursement change from our bill, which cost my hospital over $1 million, and put together the bill in the form that it's in now, that was the direction he wanted to move. And yet he vetoed the bill anyway. So it seems to me that we have been reaching out, trying to accommodate the governor, trying to work in a direction that the governor has indicated he wants to go behind the scenes, and yet it hasn't made a bit of difference. And so instead, the governor is asking us to dismantle a health care program, Minnesota Care, that is one of the primary ways that working poor people in my district can cover themselves through some type of health insurance care. And so I just have to ask myself what's going through the governor's mind, because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I appreciate Senator Olson your comments. I'm not sure that I take your position on what the governor's position is to be necessarily his position, but what strikes me as peculiar is that what I do know is that there was as I understand it, a very lengthy, significant, substantive meeting yesterday with the governor and people on this bill. And my understanding is that there's a plan to continue to meet and discuss and to find a way to accomplish the goals that I think we all share. And so I don't know that I accept the fact that you're saying the governor wants to dismantle a program. I think what we recognize is we've got a way of paying for low-income health care that's very, very costly, and it is expanding at a rate that is clearly unsustainable. And I've talked to people from the hospital associations, and they agree that what we currently have is not sustainable. Everybody knows that this has got to change. Now, the governor has got a plan. And we can argue about whether we want that plan or not, but I don't know that we've had a significant opportunity to hear the details of that plan. Senator Berglund has talked about this plan that the governor has as being much more expensive. I've gotten information recently to say that that may not be true, that the cost in this bill that we have before us that we're going to seek to override the veto on has got about a $321 million cost over the next, 16 months. But that the governor's auto enrollment plan over the next 40 months is less than $300 million. Now, maybe that's something that needs to be explicated. Maybe that's a point that needs to be understood. Maybe that's an opportunity that we have to have as a legislature to understand what exactly that this proposal the governor has is going to do. We have not had that opportunity to do that. And we're asked to say, no, we're going to take this bill over the governor's veto when there's clearly some other things on the table that could be done, and that there's negotiations, as I understand it, going on or would like to continue, and we're going to say no to that. I don't think that is wise, particularly since we're talking about spending money that we don't have and that we haven't even had taken a look at the whole budget problem that we have. The governor at least has put his plan in the context of an entire budget solution. This plan is not in the context of a budget solution. So it is, in my opinion, premature for us to say, let's go with this, without knowing what other options there might be, without knowing how else we're going to deal with the budget. This, to me, is an example of our haste to do something that I think we may regret. Very similar, in my opinion, to what we did with the bonding bill. So, members, let's not do this. Let's give this process a chance to work.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I totally agree with Senator Hahn. And members, I want to draw your attention to that hospital spreadsheet put out by the Minnesota Hospital Association, not from the department. But there are three columns there with figures. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that the last column is on the governor's supplemental budget, his proposal that was introduced this Monday. Okay, so these are two separate issues, and we should deal with the GAMC population, this proposal, right now, which is the figure in the middle, and that's the ones for below 75%. The third column is for populations above 75% federal poverty level. So I just hope that we can continue these negotiations on. We can sit here and point fingers and say, well, he didn't tell us enough, the governor didn't tell us enough, and he didn't come to the table, whatever. He is at the table. He is engaged. Let's continue. Let's act like statesmen and continue on with these negotiations and figure this out, because obviously we do need a solution. There are several ideas out there floating, and I think we can improve on what we have.
Senator Berglund, then Lynch.
Will Senator Rosen yield? Senator Rosen, you know very well that if auto enrollment happens and the governor's office is not backing off on the timeline for that, that the Minnesota Care Fund becomes bankrupt. So my question to you is, are you willing to vote to increase the provider tax to solve that problem?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Berglund, we haven't even had those negotiations yet. So to ask me about a provider tax at this point, I think, is a little premature. We don't even know what's going on in these negotiations right now. My hope and my prayer is that we will figure this out, and perhaps there are dollars that can delay this auto enrollment, or there's some other avenue that we can take. The point is, the system that we have right now is not working. The plan that we have obviously has some flaws. You're not getting everybody on board. So let's continue the discussion and let's act like adults.
Mr. President.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Rosen, I will take that as a no. And then the only alternative to keep the Health Care Access Fund solvent is to start throwing other people who are in the program out of the program. And that's what's on this sheet. And the governor is saying he's moving ahead with that regardless of the discussions that we're having. And so that will begin on Monday. A day and a half, we can keep talking. And I hope we come up with something too. But we cannot delay trying to move ahead with a better plan while they're moving ahead with a worse plan.
Senator Lynch and Senator Ortman. Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. One of the strengths that Senator Berglund has identified with this proposal is maintaining the integrity of the Health Care Access Fund. And members, the contributing funds to that fund are the provider tax. The Mayo Clinic is a very large contributor to the provider tax. And while often I think we associate the Mayo Clinic with Senator Lynch and perhaps with Senator Senjum, there are Mayo affiliates all across southern Minnesota. Senator Fredrickson, Senator Sharon, Senator Rosen, Senator Dahl, Senator Perry, Senator Sparks, Senator Murphy, Senator Erickson Ropes, Senator Parasaw. We all have Mayo affiliates in our district, and protecting the integrity of the Health Care Access Fund is a very top priority of the Mayo Clinic.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Berglund just clarify? Will she yield for a moment?
She will yield. Senator Ortman.
Senator Berglund, the proposal, your temporary GAMC proposal, includes a 50% cut in rates to our providers and hospitals. How do you propose to restore those rates after the 16-month temporary fix?
Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. President and Senator Ortman, one of the reasons that this is a temporary program is because we have had an opportunity in the health care reform bill on the part of the Senate to enroll these people in Medicaid early. The original bill, it was April 1st of this year. There are five other states that have gotten permission from the federal government to do that. And that would give us 50% or in the near term 60% more money to pay for this population. That is something that we need to be looking at as we move forward. And as we move forward, we also need to look at what kind of savings can come out of the reform we have in the bill for the coordinated care delivery option. That's akin to an accountable care organization that would be structured by the county. We believe that if we do those things and have this program in place in the meantime, that these rate cuts could be temporary.
Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. President and members, I'm concerned about the temporary nature of this so-called fix. And I'm concerned that it doesn't make sense to make such a drastic fix of an ailing program when we haven't dealt with the overall concern of our budget deficit. And let me explain why. In Senator Berglund's proposal, she's included a 50% rate cut to our providers across the state of Minnesota, and she claims that the cost of the program is only $457 per month. Well, that may be true. The auto enrollment might be $937 million, but it deals at least honestly with the costs of the program and doesn't shift them to the future like that. The hospitals can't continue for very long to take a 50% rate cut. And while they might argue that they agree temporarily because they prefer that to zero, we can't continue if we're going to restore those rates. It makes this program unsustainable. There are some really great aspects of what Senator Berglund has proposed here, the concept of coordinated care through the counties and having the counties help facilitate basic preventive care and less expensive care. That makes perfect sense. That's where we should be going. Everybody in this chamber would agree. The governor would agree that that's what we should be doing. There's no reason to pass this over everybody else's objection to make a point. Please don't make the point. Let's go back to work. Let's get our work done, because we're propping up a program that's getting more expensive every single day. We're leaving our hospitals and care providers out there to carry the burden in the meantime, which will cause them great problems. If we don't find a solution in the next 16 months, we are going to add to our deficit, which in the next biennium is $5.6 to $8 billion. This program is unsustainable in the version that we are voting on today. Members, this is not a fix. We're propping, we're patching, we're putting to the future a problem that we should be dealing with today. And by forcing this vote over the governor's objections, we are really saying we're not going to talk to you, Governor, we're not going to fix the problem, and we're going to delay for as long as we can to deal with the underlying problem. I hope members will sustain the governor's veto.
Any further discussion? Senator Berglund renews her motion that Senate File 2168 be now reconsidered and repassed, the objections of the governor notwithstanding, pursuant to Article 4 of the Section 23 of the Constitution of the State of Minnesota. Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There being 45 ayes, 21 nays, the motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, remaining on motions, I would move that the vote whereby House File 2700, that's the bonding bill, was repassed by the Senate on February 22, 2010, be now reconsidered.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the vote whereby the conference can report on House File 2700 was adopted by the Senate on February 22, 2010, be now reconsidered.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator
Mr. President,
Pogemiller.
I move that House File 2700 be laid on the table.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator.
Mr. President, is there any other work at the desk?
Senator, any work at the desk? Go on your feet. Did you want to?
Mr. President.
Senator Michelle, for what purpose?
Mr. President, I was trying to rise to ask the Majority Leader a question on his three motions.
The vote has been taken, but you can, if you'd like to ask him questions at this point, you may.
Mr. President, would Senator Pogemiller yield?
Senator Michelle.
Senator Pogemiller, that was quick. Could you explain to the body where is the bonding bill now?
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, it is laid on the desk. The conference committee report is laid on the desk in the Senate.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pogemiller. I hope you'd give the members a little more background then on what has happened and what you want to happen with the bonding bill. This is arguably one of the top two or three things we're going to do this session. And from what I understand, this is fairly unprecedented. It's at least unusual. We were here for a pretty thorough debate on Monday. Conferees worked all weekend, I'm told. And so I know it's possible for bills that are passed on the Senate floor to hit the governor's desk within minutes. That's what happened with the GAMC bill. Now, the bonding bill has taken a totally different path, a totally different timing. So could you explain a little more, give a little more background as to what is happening with this bill?
Mr. President.
Mr. Pogemiller.
Certainly. Senator Michelle, the GAMC bill was a Senate file, and so after we passed it, it did go to the reviser, and there were signatures, and it was processed. The bonding bill is a House file, so after we passed it, it was sent back to the House. In the ensuing period, the House sent it back to our desk, and it was not presented to the governor. There was no signatures, and it was not presented to the governor. So when we showed up here today, the bill was at the Senate desk. In discussions with the Speaker of the House, I was asked whether the Senate would consider holding the bill at the Senate desk to find out if there could be a fruitful discussion with the governor to proceed on that bill. As you know, the governor I think you were at the press conference, the governor said that he was pleased that we did not present the bill and that that allowed for an opportunity to take a second bite at it in terms of discussion and see if we couldn't find a bill that the governor would be willing to sign without vetoes. That process is apparently taking place. I have not been part of any meetings, but apparently, and also stung by your criticism, Senator Michelle, that the process was perhaps not as open as it could have been. Senator Lankseth thought, well, why don't we open the process up? And so Senator Lankseth invited the governor to come publicly yesterday to discuss the bonding bill. The governor refused, but he did send representatives who then proceeded to say that they did not have authority to make a decision. So Senator Lankseth graciously agreed to meet with the governor, even though the Senator Lankseth still insists that the governor would meet publicly to talk about the pieces of the bill, and I would ask that the governor would do that. I know at the national level they've broken some ground today, and the chief executive is meeting publicly with people to talk about an important issue before the nation, and I would hope Governor Pawlenty would consider that. I noticed in the paper today he was quoted as saying he thought the Republicans should show up to President Obama's request, and I would hope that that would be the same spirit here, that the governor would show up publicly at a request by Senator Lankseth and Representative Houseman. I know the governor was unable to show up when we had three or four former governors and former speakers and former majority leaders. The governor apparently was too busy to come to that bipartisan discussion. But in this instance, we are hoping that the governor will participate in a bipartisan discussion in a public fashion to consummate the bonding bill. Hopefully that will happen in the next couple of days. If it does, my intent would be to send the bill back to conference committee, sew it up with an agreement with the governor, and be done with it. If, on the other hand, the governor is not serious in negotiating that bill, then I think we would just take it up here, process it, and send the bill to the governor.
Mr. President.
Senator Michelle.
Mr. President, I appreciate some of the explanation, Senator Pogemiller. And there's a very interesting contrast today on health care, where the president is sitting down and talking with Republicans, and what we just did as a Senate body was play veto override and jam the governor. So there's an interesting contrast on health care. On the bonding bill, I guess what I'm led to believe, Senator Pogemiller, is that there's incredible flexibility within the legislative branch, that we can, the House can pass a bill, the Senate can pass a bill, and then each of those bodies can pass a conference committee, but it's still not over. That paperwork needs to be signed, that messages need to continue to go back and forth between the House and Senate. I'm just trying to get myself and members a better sense of when is our work complete? After we vote red or green on a conference committee report, that I think we generally believe that's the end. But there are some Olympian gymnastics being played here with the legislative process. It's only the third week. It's only the third week, Mr. President. But the only way we're going to get things done here is through negotiation, through bipartisanship, through working with the House, working with the Senate, and of course with the executive branch. So my sense, Senator Pogemiller, is that this is unprecedented, what we're doing here today, what we've done here today. And I'm not sure it bodes well for the rest of the session.
Senator Pogemiller.
Well, Senator Michelle, it's absolutely not unprecedented. This happens often where we reconsider votes. It happens all the time. I was under the impression that you and the governor publicly thanked the speaker for making that decision, and you thought it was a wise thing to do. And I see today you supported, or at least did not oppose. Let me just ask, Senator, and maybe we could reconsider again here. Senator Michelle, do you oppose what we just did? Do you think it was not wise to catch our breath on the bonding bill and see if we can't work out an arrangement? Would you have preferred us just to send that to the governor? What is your thinking on that, Senator Michelle? I know you had thoughts on it at your press conference.
So, Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate your patience with all this. I think the outcome might lead to a good product, Senator Pogemiller, but I think members of the Senate, members of the legislative branch, and more importantly, Minnesotans are scratching their head and trying to figure out, when a bill has been passed, where does it go? Do we pull it back and start all over again? I appreciate that this process requires some flexibility and that sometimes that could lead to a better result, Senator Pogemiller, but what I had hoped to do as you quickly ran through those series of three motions was get a little more of this background on the record, because that's important. That's important for this body.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Again, I want to point out there was nothing unprecedented about what we did. The bill was at the desk this morning when I arrived on the Senate floor and seemed like it would be wise. We need to reconsider it within 3 days, so today was the day we needed to act. So I thought the Senate, I believe the Senate just made a wise decision to try to move the process forward. What I would suggest, Senator Michelle, is that apparently you're the lead person on bonding in the Senate now because you were at the press conference. What I would suggest is that the governor would like some things in the bill that passed the Senate to be taken out of the bill. He would like to incorporate apparently $108 million more in spending. So let's say he decides the bill should be $700 million. I don't know. It's either he's had several proposals there, $685 or $725, but let's just assume $700 is the number he wants it at, which he can accomplish, and I believe he will accomplish that. That bill will only be as big as Governor Plenty wants it. So if you add the $108 million in additional spending that he puts in the bill, and you have to get to $700, then we need a suggestion at which $400 million to take out of the bill. And if you are indeed the lead person now for the Senate caucus in the Republican side, I don't know. I know the conferee is still attending the meetings, Senator Corrin, but you were at the press conference with the governor. If you are the lead person, I am asking you, I am suggesting that the way to proceed would be for you, on behalf of the Senate Republican caucus, to show us which $400 million you would like to take out of the bill so that we could then accommodate you. And I think that would help, because if the bill is going to be $700, which, or whatever the number is, whatever the governor and you decide it should be, We can accommodate that once we know, and we can accommodate his additional spending of $108 million if we know what you would like us to take out of the bill. So, Senator Michelle, I'm thrilled that you want to do this. I know you want to do this in the public. You can meet with Senator Langseth publicly to do that in Houseman, or you could simply send him a letter. And I think that would then, in the next day or so, resolve the issue. We could move on and vote on a bill early next week that accommodated the governor's objectives. It simply is not going to work if the indecisiveness on the size of the bill and the indecisiveness on which projects can or cannot be in the bill continues. And I think you and your ally, the governor, need to make a decision. Let us know what it is, and then let's proceed.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you again, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Pogemiller, for those suggestions. I'm not sure Senator Langseth is all that excited about including me in some of these negotiations, and I think I've been clear where I personally am, which is I don't think we can afford this bonding bill and that we should balance the budget first. But having said that, I thank Senator Pogemiller for his explanations, because I think he proves the point. The point is that what we've done here is unusual with the bonding bill, and that we needed to have this discussion on the floor of the Senate, that we need to explain to taxpayers and all those interested in following this debate what indeed is going on. And that was my original intention by standing up and trying to be recognized between the second or third motion.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, again, procedurally, it's not unusual. We reconsider votes around here all the time. I would agree, though, Senator Michelle, what it is going to take this year that will be unusual is statespersonships on both sides of the aisle to accommodate a level of trust and understanding that accomplishes the balancing of the state budget and doing it in a way that is not fraught with kind of political intrigue. What we need is people such as yourself, as you have often displayed in the Senate, to stand up, put partisan differences aside, and try to resolve the issues quickly. And I think a demonstration of that this weekend would be for you to give, or to have the governor give, Senator Langseth and Representative Houseman a list of $400 million or whatever it is that should be taken out of the bill so that we can accommodate the governor's $108 million worth of spending.
Senator Orkman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had been seeking to be recognized when those motions flew by this chamber as well, because I thought that they were a little out of the ordinary, and I appreciate Senator Pogemiller's explanation that the bill was sitting at the desk today for him to decide whether or not we should reconsider it or not. The members will remember that on the night that we voted on the bonding bill, I rose in this chamber and I asked members to send the bill back to the conference committee for more work. And I really believed at that time, I still believe it's true, that the public would have been very proud of us. Minnesotans would have been so proud if at that moment, when the minority members of this caucus, of our caucus, asked the majority to do that at that time. That was the right time to send this bill back to the conference committee before we took a vote. But please remember, we voted as a chamber, as a legislative body. We did what we thought was best for our districts. Some people took very difficult votes in this chamber on behalf of their districts or on behalf of the best interests of the entire state. Senator Pogemiller, you asked us to vote. You said it was urgent. We voted, even though we asked you to slow down the process. Then 2 days later, we hear, well, maybe you've reconsidered, and now we are all going to vote again because you've decided maybe the political timing wasn't as good as you thought it was. And I just think for members of the public that actually follow us, they might like to see that there are important rules that apply to even the majority leader in this chamber about bills that get voted on. In fact, our Constitution addresses this issue directly. Section 20 of Article 4 says enrollment of bills. Let me pause just a second. Section 20 of Article 4. Every bill passed by both houses, like this bonding bill, shall be enrolled and signed by the presiding officer of each house. That would be our speaker and our majority leader. Any presiding officer refusing to sign a bill passed by both houses shall thereafter be disqualified from any office of honor or profit in the state. The consequences are enormous when you play political gamesmanship. I would have said political gamesmanship, Senator Pogomiller, but you called it political intrigue, and I think you hit the nail on the head. For you to come into this chamber today, find that the bill was on the desk, and decide, well, maybe I think we should reconsider a bill that was passed by this Senate and a bill that was passed by the House and ready for enrollment and sending to the governor. Because on your whim, you decided maybe the political timing wasn't that profitable. Don't play political chicken with the votes of this chamber, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogomiller.
Mr. President, first, Senator Ortman, the presiding officer is not me. I do not sign the bills. The President of the Senate does. And the Senate has done nothing other than reconsider under its rules because the bill was still here. Was there a violation of the rules of any way, Senator Ortman? Or what? I'm concerned by your comments because you're talking about the Constitution, and I'm just concerned that you may not understand the way bills are reconsidered in the Senate quite often, as a matter of fact, quite often.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, I don't believe that there has been a violation of the rules or the Constitution. I do believe we've come perilously close. And I do believe it's incredible how nonchalant we're acting about what is that close to a constitutional violation. It is very routine that we take up a motion to reconsider after we vote, but it's not routine that we do it 2 days later. It's not routine that we do it after the House has voted and this bill is ready to be sent to the governor. And when the general public and all members of these chambers believe it's on its way to the governor, that's when it starts to look unusual, unprecedented, nonchalant, and perilously close to a violation of the rules and a constitutional violation, Mr. President. And I do apologize, Mr. President, Senator Pogomiller, about getting that wrong about the presiding officer.
Mr. President, just one final point. Senator Ortman, I believe we have now accomplished partly what you suggested in the first instance. Your wisdom has been accepted by the Senate. I'm not quite sure why you're criticizing the Senate for something you had suggested.
All right, we're close to Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, I appreciate that, and I'm hoping to quote Senator Pogomiller on that in the future. My wisdom was accepted by the President, or by the Senate. Thank you so much. It's just, for me, it strikes me, Senator Pogomiller, as very whimsical, very nonchalant, and not truly respectful of the votes that we were asked to take and the very important nature of the work that we do. When we act as a body, I have great respect for this chamber. If you remember, I voted no. But I still have great respect for the outcome of what we do. And we sent this bill over to the House. They passed it. I have great respect for them. And that was a process that our constituents all participated in that. And so that's why I would just rise to remind the members of this body not to play around with that. It's a very important responsibility we all have.
Senator Vandermeer.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. The questions about process aside, I commend you, Senator Pogomiller, for pulling the bill back, because I think if we learned anything last year, we learned that if we don't work with the governor, we give up our responsibility, our role, and our ability to shape the legislation and the outcomes of the session. So by doing this, there's an opportunity to work with the governor and get a bill that hopefully even I could vote for, because, you know, the state is in a severe economic crisis. And I promised early in the session not to be excessively doctrinaire in the resolutions that we come up with, or the solutions, if any, that we can come up with to ease this situation. And I don't mean that I'll abandon my political principles, nor do I expect my friends on the other side of the aisle to do that. Nevertheless, we have an important job to do. The people of Minnesota are hurting. And I think the pulling the bill back and being willing to work with the governor does demonstrate a lot of wisdom. And I would hope that we can continue through the session and work together and do something, if possible, to help the people of Minnesota. So thank you.
Senator Corey.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I think my question has been answered. I was just concerned that you and I lost our job, but I think we're still intact. Correct? That was meant to be funny, to try to cheer everybody up. We don't have to be mad at each other. Let's just work together.
That's a pretty good concept. We ought to...
Mr. President, if there's no other work.
Is it more often? Senate, I've got a couple motions at the desk here. Senator Ingebrigtsen moves that his name be stricken as co-author of Senate File 146. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion fails. Senator Koch moves that her name be stricken as chief author, shown as a co-author, and the name of Senator Limmer be added as chief author. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. 146. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind members that if you have a suggestion for the Legislative Audit Commission to take up for one of the program evaluations, the deadline for doing that is March 1st, which is Monday, I believe. And if you have misplaced your form, I have them here that tells you where to send them, et cetera. You can also do it just by a letter, but they do need to get to Mr. Noble's by Monday. If you want a form, I'll be here and handing them out. Thank you very much.
Okay, remaining under announcements of Senate interest, Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the majority leader yield?
He will yield, Senator Senjum.
Senator Pogermiller, I'm just wondering, looking ahead Monday, any thoughts that you might have in terms of what we might be doing on the floor?
Pogermiller.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, I think we would want a relatively short session, and hopefully just maybe we'll process some general orders, but we want the committees to be able to meet. So I don't anticipate anything of major significance. Oh, Monday we have the Canadian ambassador. Oh, okay. Monday we have the Canadian ambassador speaking to a joint House and Senate gathering. So we have a brief resolution that we're going to pass here on behalf of the Canadian visit. And if we had a few minutes, we might do a few general orders things. But if not, we'll just head over to the House. And then I would anticipate we would not spend time in session.
Senator Sharon.
Consul General from Canada.
Senator Sharon, under announcements.
The announcement is that today is Private College Scholars Day at the Capitol, where 35 students from our private colleges are here visiting, two from Bethany Lutheran College in my district, and they're presenting their research in the rotunda from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock today. So I'm encouraging you to stop by, meet these students, and learn about the great research that they're doing and what's happening at these nonprofit liberal arts colleges. This is a great opportunity for us to recognize the accomplishment of these young scholars. These are the private college scholars who are here visiting with us on their day at the Capitol.
Further announcements, Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, thank you for good work this week, members. We will not meet tomorrow. There was the possibility, but we don't need to because we've been able to process our work. So I'd move that the Senate adjourn till Monday, March 1st, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.